Well, you did it. You made it to the end of Beauty by the Book for Teens. I am so proud of you. It's like kind of you're graduating from biblical beauty school. But as your instructor, I have one final thing I want us to do together. I want us to do a review, sort of like a pop quiz. And as I do this, what I want you to do, whether you're alone or with a group, I want you to answer these questions aloud, okay? So we're going to review the five females from the Proverbs. And as I ask you these questions, I want you to answer me as we begin to take this kind of pop quiz together. Who was the biblical beauty that you first met? Now, she was a biblical beauty. Don't remember her? She's wildly popular in today's culture. Who is she? Remember? She's the immoral woman. That's exactly right. Who was the second biblical beauty don't that you met? Can you think about it? She was that girl who was so clueless, she needed a ton of wisdom. That's right. It was the indiscreet woman. The third biblical beauty don't that you met was a woman that we hated to admit it, but we could all kind of relate to her. Who was she? Exactly. She was the irritating woman. You finally got to meet a biblical beauty do. And who was she? Woman number four. That's exactly right. She was the captivating woman. And it was Ruth that we studied, and we just kind of fell in love with her because she's such a wonderful role model for all of us. Let me ask you, who did you study? Who was the fifth female? The ultimate biblical beauty do. You looked at her this week, and who is she? She's the ideal woman. That's right. The ideal woman is the woman that God wants all of us to become. But here's the truth about the ideal woman. She didn't become an ideal woman in a day, or a week, or a month, or even a few years. The ideal woman is somebody that God makes in a process, and He wants to make us all become, as women, ideal women. Girls, biblical beauty is a process. And as you've studied these five females, and especially this final female, the ideal woman, I want you to remember that you are in a process. You are becoming a biblical beauty, a true beauty. And as you finish up this study, I want you to go out into the culture, to go out into your schools and in your homes, and I want you to show them that, girls, true beauty may be rare, but it's not extinct. Well, girls, here we are. It is the final week of Beauty by the Book for Teens. And it's very, very interesting because in this final week that you studied, it's like the Lord just saved in Proverbs the very best for the last, didn't He? He showed us a woman that I call the ideal woman. We find her in Proverbs chapter 31, and you can open your Bibles there right now to Proverbs 31, and we're going to just take an overview at this woman who is a woman that some people call her, girls, listen, the Proverbs diva, okay? Because she's just kind of all that and a bag of chips. That's what she is. She has just got it all going on. This woman personifies, and this woman, she's a woman who is a beautiful picture, honestly, of all of the characteristics of biblical beauty. You've seen these words in the background here, and you see these over here, and they're the words that we have chosen that really do personify this biblical beauty do, this true beauty in the Scriptures. And the Proverbs 31 woman, this ideal woman, she possesses every single one of these qualities, these characteristics of biblical beauty. So we're going to take a look at her today, and we're going to see that she really is a true beauty. She's the real deal, okay? But before we begin to look at her just really in depth, what I want us to do, what I want to tell you is this. Sometimes we look at this woman and we read this passage and study it like you did this past week, and you look at it and you think, you know, golly, this woman's day must start at like 4 in the morning. She must not ever go to sleep. Because how can anybody get all this stuff done in one day? Well, if you're thinking that, listen, that's not the right way to look at this. Honestly, this chapter and this description of the ideal woman is not a day in the life of the perfect woman, okay? It's not that. The Proverbs 31 woman, what it is, I believe it's a panoramic picture, okay, of the seasons of a woman's life. It shows this unfolding of her life. And girls, the other thing that you need to know is this. She did not become an ideal woman in a day, or a week, or a month, or I believe even in a few years. It is a process. And girls, that's the good news right now tonight, is that we're all in process. I'm 52 years old. I got a lot still to work on to have these characteristics in my life. God has us in this great process where He is making us more and more like Himself. And there's a beautiful scripture that I love in Philippians, and it says this, God promises this. He says, I am certain that God who began a good work in you, okay, He began that good work in us at salvation, okay? That God who began that good work, He will continue that work until it is finally finished on the day when we see Christ Jesus face to face. God has promised you and me that He's going to work through this process that He started in our life. He saved us, but it's this process of making us more and more like Jesus Christ all the days of our lives. You're not in this alone, and that's a good thing. He also says, though, that we do have responsibilities. And in Philippians chapter 2, it says this, work hard. Philippians 2, 13 and 14, work hard to show the results of your salvation, okay? This is going to be work for us, okay? We're going to have to look at this and to say, Lord, I'm going to cooperate with this process that you've started. You're going to work it out in my life, but God, I'm going to cooperate. I'm going to work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. God's part, then, is that He starts the work and He will work through it with us. But He's saying, I need you to join me, okay, and work with me. Work with me. And when we do that, we can see ourselves changing and transforming and becoming the biblically beautiful women that He wants us to become. But girls, becoming an ideal woman is a process, okay? I want you to know this girl in Proverbs 31 didn't get it all together in 1 or 2 or 3 weeks. Or 1 or 2 or 3 months. It was a process for her, and we're just ideal women in the making. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do, girls. I'm going to ask you to repeat aloud with me this, okay, just to kind of seal it, that you understand where we are, okay? Repeat after me. And if you're watching this on video, I also want you to repeat this after me, okay? With God's help, say it. With God's help, I am becoming.
I am becoming.
Very good. A true beauty. I am an ideal woman in the making.
I am an ideal woman in the making.
Very good. And you really are. You're an ideal woman in the making. You're in the process, and I'm in the process. So let's look in this final session of Beauty by the Book for Teens at this process and how we can become more involved in doing our part so that we can become this woman God has designed us to be. Well, an ideal woman in the making, girls, is becoming, I think, number one, a trustworthy, valuable help to others, okay? She's becoming a trustworthy woman, a woman other people can trust. In Proverbs 31, verse 11 and 12, it says this, that the one who's closest to her husband, it says, can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. She's a woman who can be trusted. Do you remember that woman we met in week one of your homework, that immoral woman? Is she trustworthy? No, she's not. She can't be trusted. This woman in Proverbs chapter 31 is a woman whose husband trusts her, whose friends can trust her. And this is a woman that you want to become. So I'm going to ask you a question. Are you the kind of girl that other people can trust? Okay? Are you trustworthy? All right? That's going to require some maturity on your part and some growing on your part and growing on my part as well. Can other people trust you? All right? When they tell you things, and can they trust you that you want the best for them and that you're going to not be one of these competitive kind of mean girl, jealous girl kind of thing? Are you a trustworthy girl? Are you true? Are you loyal to your friends and to your family? If you want to become an ideal woman one day, listen, and in this process, you need to develop this character trait, and that is that you are trustworthy, that people know they can count on you. You are a trustworthy young woman, and you are a valuable help to other people. When and if you get married one day, your husband needs to be able to trust you, okay? He needs to be able to trust you, and you will enrich his life by not being like some ball and chain like you hear some guys talk about or some spoiled princess, but you would be a person who would enrich his life and who he could trust. Are you a young woman that other people can trust? Well, secondly, an ideal woman in the making is becoming a self-starter, okay? A self-starter and a hard worker. A self-starter and a hard worker. Proverbs 31:13 says this. This woman finds flax, okay? She finds flax and she busily spins it, okay? This is a woman who doesn't sit on her hands all day and she just, you know, lives and feeds herself bonbons and watches soap operas, you know, however you want to picture that. This is a woman, honestly, who has initiative, okay? She uses her time wisely. I'll never forget many, many years ago when I was a teenager, one of my friends invited me over to her house. And I went with her to her house and I'd never been there before and I really was just getting to know her. And when we walked walked in the front door of that house, I saw something that was, to me, a little troubling and kind of shocking, too, because in the front room was the den, the area, the living area that most of the her family would have, you know, been in. And that day when we walked in her house and I met her mother, this is what I saw in that main room of their house. I saw the TV going, okay? Not a problem there, but the programs that were on were stuff that I just didn't know that really women would even care about watching. This woman who lived in this house, my friend's mother, had two jigsaw puzzles going. And then all around the whole perimeter of the room, halfway up the wall, okay? All right, half all the way around were stacks of little paperbacks. Stacks and stacks and stacks all the way around the room. And you know what they were? They were Harlequin romance books, okay? I don't even know if they still sell these things. They were the kind of little books you pick up at the grocery store, you know, when you're checking out and stuff, these pictures of these fictional love stories and all this kind of stuff. And when I walked in the door and I saw her mother sitting there watching TV, doing jigsaw puzzles, and I could tell you, and she had stacks of books by her chairs and things, I thought, is this all you do all day? Is that all you do? It just kind of surprised me. I saw this woman whose days were wasted, I thought, in empty things. I even recognized it as a junior high girl. And here's what made me so sad. When I walked in and saw that, that girl's mother said to her, she said, "Honey, you need to get in there right now and get the kitchen cleaned up. The breakfast dishes are still in the sink, and Daddy will be home in a little bit. You need to get dinner going." And I thought, Lord, what is going on here? My friend's mother did nothing, girl. She wasn't this woman. And I'd never really and truly seen a woman who wasted her days in so many empty pursuits. And I saw my friend, my little seventh or eighth grade girlfriend there. Girls, you know what? She was the big girl in the house. She was the one doing the lion's share of the work. And I saw a picture of a woman, girls. I didn't want to be her. I didn't want to be her. And I didn't know, even know there were women like that. But listen, an ideal woman in the making is a self-starter, okay? She's not some lazy girl who's wasting the hours and the days and the weeks of her life, and she is a hard worker. Proverbs 31 also says in verse 17, she is energetic and she is strong and she is a hard worker. In verse 19, it says her hands are busy, okay? Her hands are busy, and it says she suffers nothing from laziness. She is no slacker. So let me ask you, girls, how are you spending your time, okay? If you want to become this kind of a girl, if you want to become this kind of a young woman, if you want to become a woman who is an ideal woman in the making, girls, how are you spending your time? What are you doing with your hands and your days and your hours, okay? Are you known as somebody who's a self-starter? I came home not too long ago, but when I left home that morning, the grass in our yard was getting, you know, kind of raggedy looking, and I was thinking, Lord, somebody needs to mow the grass. And I got home that afternoon, and I arrived there, and when I came home, there was a perfectly beautiful lawn. I mean, the lawn I had left that morning was just was kind of embarrassing. But I got back and the yard was manicured and it looked great. And I knew Bill wasn't home, my husband. So went in the house and I saw one of my sons sitting there and I said, "Who cut the yard, you know?" And he said, "Well, I did." I said, "I didn't ask you to cut the yard." He said, "I know, but it needed cutting." And I thought, girls, you could almost faint it, okay? I'll just admit. But you know what? That's what I'm talking about, a self-starter. Does your mother have to nag and prod? Do your teachers have to just threaten? Do you just have to wait to the last minute till anything gets done in your life? Girls, an ideal woman in the making is a self-starter. She's a hard worker. And I'll tell you what, if you'll do that, it will get you brownie points one day with your employer. It will get you brownie points. And that day when my son, I found out what he'd done, and I had never even asked him to mow the grass, I made that boy a pan of Ghirardelli brownies, okay? It does. It gets you brownie points when you become a self-starter. So be a self-starter. What kind of work do you do? At school, at home, or maybe on your job? Are you a self-starter? That's what an ideal woman in the making is. Well, thirdly, an ideal woman in the making is becoming a skilled homekeeper and a servant to her family and to others. One day, whether you're married or whether you're single, you're going to have your own place, okay? And I don't want to see one day when I'm sitting watching one of those programs, you know, that talks about those people that their house is just a mess and the TV cameras come in and you see and you think, Lord, how did it get like this? It must have taken a lot of neglect for a house to look like this. I don't want to see y'all's faces on that program, okay? An ideal woman in the making is a skilled homekeeper, okay? She knows how to take care of her place. Starts, girls, where? Starts in your room, okay? It starts in your locker, things like that. Are you a skilled homekeeper and a servant to others? This ideal woman, it says in verse verse 14 and 15, she's like a merchant ship. She brings food from afar. She gets up before dawn. She takes care of her family, okay? If she's a married woman, she makes sure that they're being served good meals, okay? She makes sure that they are well taken care of as far as their basic needs and their food and their clothing. It says that she has no fear for her household in the wintertime because everybody has warm clothes, okay? This is a woman who has some foresight, and she says, things under my roof are taken care of, okay? Things under my roof. My family is taken care of. I don't know whether you'll marry one day or not, whether you have children one day or not, but girls, you're going to have your own place, and you need to be a skilled homekeeper. And all of us are called to be servants, okay? Jesus himself was the ultimate servant. He said this when the disciples were with him on the very last night before he was crucified. After they had the Last Supper together, he rose from the table, the Bible says, in John chapter 13. And do you know what he did? Girls, he picked up a towel and he wrapped it around his waist, and then he filled up a basin of water, and then he went and he knelt, and he did the dirtiest job that anybody ever did back then, and that was washing filthy feet. Some of the disciples protested. They said, you can't do this. Don't wash my feet. I should be washing your feet. But Jesus said this, I've done this and as an example for you that you also should do as I've done and serve one another. Girls, service is something we're all called to do. A few days later, after Jesus was resurrected, after he came back from the dead, his disciples, some of them were out to sea, and they were fishing, and they saw a figure. It was daybreak, and they saw someone standing on the beach. And then one of the disciples said, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And that one, Peter jumped out of that boat and he just began to swim over there. Others brought the boat in. And when they arrived on the beach there that day, do you know what they saw? They saw breakfast. They saw breakfast. He cooked for them. Can you imagine Jesus? He'd hung on a cross. They had betrayed him. He'd risen from the dead and proven who he was. And there he is, he'd fixed them breakfast. It says there was a fire there, and he'd fixed them breakfast, and he invited them to eat. Girls, Jesus was a servant. And you and I, as ideal women in the making, we need to learn how to serve others. He calls us to service. Well, the next thing we see about this woman is this, is that a true beauty, an ideal woman in the making, is becoming an organized planner and an overseer. Okay, she's organized. She plans. She has a plan, and she works her plan. In verse 15, it says she gets up early to plan the day's work, okay? She's a planner. She doesn't let her days just go by without a plan. She's got some goals. And then underneath those goals, she's got a way to achieve those goals. What are your goals? Are you working a plan, okay? And you work this plan very, very prayerfully, okay? You work it prayerfully. You work these things out. And this woman is an organized planner. It says she carefully watches over everything that she's in charge of, everything in her household. We saw that she's a skilled servant. We saw that she's a skilled homekeeper. But that does not mean, girls, that she does all the work around her house all by herself. We see that she's an overseer. It says there she had some servants who worked for her, okay? And you may think, well, I don't ever plan on cleaning the house myself. I'm going to hire me some people. Well, that's good, okay? That's fine. But I'm telling you what, if you grow up and you have children, I hope that you will delegate and oversee and teach them how to do and teach them how to take care of a house. I remember back years ago when I was growing up, every single Saturday, my mother would require us, even when we spent the night with somebody, we had to be home by 10 a.m. on Saturday morning, each and every Saturday. And I used to think, you know, please. But here's what it was. It was work day. And she had a list for me and for all four of my brothers. And we had things we had to do around the house. And I sulked and I whined and I pouted. And probably someday she just thought it'd be easier to do this myself than to have to put up with this attitude about this little girl here, you know. But my mother stuck with it. And she taught me some things. And I remember one day I was on the porch and my job was to sweep the porches. And I was throwing the broom around and the dust was just blowing and the leaves were just coming back on. And the porch really didn't look much different than it did before I even swept it when I went inside the house. And I told Mother, I said, I'm finished. I've done everything. I'm ready to have my freedom for the day. But my mother was not just a person who taught you how to do it. She oversaw the work, okay? She went back and she did an inspection. And when she went back, she said, I can't even tell that the porch has been swept. And she said, maybe you don't know how to sweep. And so she began to teach me, girls, the most basic thing about homekeeping, how to sweep a front porch. And I saw that I had done it all wrong, and I did it right. And she showed me how to do it, and I thought, forevermore, I can finally be free and go on my way. Well, a few months later, I went off to camp, to church camp, and at the end of the week, when we had been together, all of us girls from my church had been in a cabin together, and by the end of the week, that was the filthiest, dirtiest, messiest cabin you have ever seen. Bathrooms dirty, floors dirty, everything's just a mess, and we were required to clean it up. We couldn't leave until we had cleaned it up. And so one of the counselors there had three brooms, and she said, "Who knows how to sweep?" So I raised my hand. Oh, Julia, my mother taught me how to sweep. I can sweep, you know. So she handed me a broom and two other girls a broom, and we started sweeping out the cabin. And the dust was just a billowing because these other two girls were just swinging those brooms, you know. And it was just a mess. She could hardly breathe. And the counselor went over to those other two girls, and she said, "Here, give me those brooms." She said, "Girls, they need y'all in the bathroom. They need you to help in there." And she took those brooms away from them. And then she turned to me, and girls, I can still remember this. It's the silliest thing. But she said, "You know how to sweep, don't you?" And I thought, yes, I do. You know, I was so proud of myself that I knew how to sweep. I mean, it was just, but you know why I knew how to sweep? Because my mother taught me, okay? You're going to have to teach your kids one day, too. And I would just encourage you to teach them and delegate those things to your kids if you have children one day. But you need to be not only a skilled housekeeper, but you also need to be an organized planner and an overseer, okay? An overseer when you have your own place. So are you organized and are you a planner? Well, number five is this: a true beauty, an ideal woman in the making, is a wise investor, okay? She is a good steward of her money. A wise investor and a good steward. It says she goes to inspect a field, she buys it, and with her earnings, she plants a vineyard, okay? So she bought a piece of property, and she invested her money there. But then it began to bear fruit, and she took the money she made off of that, and she invests it again. She makes wise choices with her money, okay? I want to ask you something. What do you do with your money? Maybe it's an allowance. Maybe you've got a part-time job. I don't know what it is, but you probably have some income. Maybe you don't think it's enough, but I want to ask you, how are you handling the little bit that you've got right now? Because girls, right now you need to learn how to be a good investor, and you need to learn how to be a good steward of your money, a good overseer of your money. Do you just spend? Or do you save, okay? Are you learning how to save with your money? And this is going to be something that you can learn now that will help you so much in the future. If you'll learn how to be an ideal woman in the making, you will be a woman who is able to be a good investor and a good steward. My dad was an evangelistic singer. All his life he traveled. They did revivals, he and another man. And we lived and grew up basically off of love offerings from churches until my dad eventually made a salary from the ministry that he worked from. But there was no retirement fund, okay, no 401k, nothing like that. And so for years my mother handled the finances. My daddy provided very well for us. And she took that money and she began to kind of invest. Eventually, several years ago, my mother and my daddy reached about retirement age, and they have no retirement account, like I said, but mother took the savings that she had, and she invested it in a piece of property, several acres in a little town outside of Fort Worth, Texas. And what she did was she took this big parcel of land, I think it was about 50 acres, and she divided it up into about 10 pieces. And then she divided that in half, and it was about 20 pieces, okay? And my mother sold that property off piece by piece to people who wanted to buy and build a house there. And do you know what? She made enough money off of that investment then to buy them a house, to build them a house debt-free. And they continue to live off of the investments that my mother has made through the years. It is an incredible thing. I've watched this woman. Girls, she handles her money well. But that's not the only thing you'll be if you're an ideal woman in the making, not just a wise investor and a good steward, but you also be, number six, a gracious giver. Okay, what else do you do with your money? Well, girls, you're to give, to be generous, and you're to give to those in need. And we see in this woman in the Proverbs chapter 31, she extends a helping hand to the poor, and she opens her hands to the needy, okay? She's not just a taker, she's a giver. One of the things I love about your generation, okay, one of the things your generation is known for that to me sets you apart from other generations is that you have a much bigger global perspective. You really do. You just do. Technology and things have opened things up to you, and you all, your generation has responded very generously with hearts that want to help the less fortunate around the world, and that's a glorious thing. George Barna, who's a man who does polls and things like that, polled your generation. And the results of that poll just came out not long ago, and he said this, that teenagers today, 48% of them said they aspire in the future. Like they said, he asked them, where do you want to be and what do you want to be doing in like 10 years? And he said 48% of them aspire to be regularly serving the poor, okay? Regularly serving the poor. But here's the truth of what he said. Only 7% of your generation right now said they would be definitely doing it while they're young, okay? They're saying in 10 years, I really want to be helping, okay? Girls, there's things you can do now. There's things you can do now to extend a hand to the needy. And so I would just encourage you, look around. There are people in need. What can you do now? As you become an ideal woman in the making, a true beauty, a biblical beauty, how can you help somebody else? How can you give now? There are dozens and dozens of ways. If you'll ask the Lord, He will show that to you. A true beauty, an ideal woman in the making, is a gracious giver to those in need. Number 7, she is an excellent businesswoman. We see there that she had a business, whether she was at home doing this business or outside the home, I'm not sure. But it says she makes belted linen garments and sashes, and she sold them. And she makes sure all her dealings are profitable. This woman had some type of a business. She was not solely a wife and mother, but she also had some type of a business going on here. And we see her that she had a job, and that she is a woman who made sure that her job was something that was profitable. Okay, that's a good thing. She was wise in her choices. Now I would say this. Some people say, well, can you have it all? Can you have a home and a family and kids? And can you have a job? And can you have, you know, all these other things that we want, a big house and all these things and just, you know, all kinds of stuff? I'm telling you, honestly, here's what I believe. I believe you can have a lot. You may not be able to have it all, but you really and truly can't have it all the time, okay? And I would just encourage you, as you begin to set goals and you begin to seek God's will for your life, that you look right now as a young woman, that you look at your life as a series of seasons, okay? A series of seasons, and you make sure your priorities are right in the various seasons of your life. I told y'all last session, and this is not something just for everybody. My choices and God's plan for my life may not be God's plan for your life, but I look at my life now and I'm so glad that the season when I was a young mom, that I was able to really focus on my kids and be home, okay? And be able to watch my kids grow up and be able to focus on serving my family. In this season of my life, it's very different. My kids are grown and the Lord's opened doors for me to travel and to teach and to right, and it's just been a wonderful thing. But if I had to do all that I'm doing now and juggle little kids and even teenagers and things like that, I think it would just be way too much for me. I couldn't do that. And I don't think that was God's plan for my life, but He has seasons in our lives as women. So take advantage of those seasons and seek His priorities for whatever season that you're in. I would encourage you, become an ideal woman who, if He does give you a job and if you do pursue a career, that you are excellent at it, that you excel. Number 8, a true beauty, an ideal woman in the making, is becoming a strong, dignified, and confident woman. She's confident. It says she's clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear for the future. Why is she so confident? Has she got the big head here? I mean, what's the deal? Why is she so confident? Is she confident because she's so successful? I believe she's so confident because she has planned and she has prepared and she is organized. But I think we're going to see the real strength and confidence that she has comes from her relationship with God. I read a verse a couple of days ago when I was doing my quiet time. It's in the Psalms, and it says, "My heart, my confidence," David said, "is in you, O Lord." Okay? I believe this woman placed her confidence in God, and He was the one who gave her the confidence and the strength to get her through her days. And so I would just ask you, a lot of times as teenagers, it's a real insecure time of life. Sometimes we feel and we compare ourselves with so many different people. And I would just tell you, girls, where are you finding your confidence? You need to find it in the Lord, okay? And be this confident woman. Well, number 9, what is the next characteristic? Well, a true beauty, an ideal woman in the making, is a wise and kind example, educator, and encourager. An example, educator, and encourager. When she speaks, it says in verse 26, her words are wise, okay? When she opens her mouth and gives instructions, she does it with kindness. This is a woman, as I said, who is a very beautiful picture of all the biblical beauty qualities that we've seen. She speaks fluent 3B, okay? She's able to instruct in the way that is positive and helps others. She's this kind of woman that we see is able to encourage those around her. And then number 10, we see her secret. What is the secret? How in the world can she be all that and a bag of chips, okay? How in the world does she do it? Well, a woman who reverences God, we see, and gives Him priority. And that's the secret that she has. Her secret is that she gives God priority. She reverences Him. We started this study way back 6 weeks ago. And we looked at what the Proverbs, with the purpose and the goal of the Proverbs, and we said this, that the goal of studying the Proverbs is so that you could become wise and so that you would then in turn fear the Lord, okay? That you would fear the Lord. And we learned that the fear of the Lord is reverence for God that results in obedience to God, okay? This is a woman who's a picture of that. She fears the Lord. She seeks Him first and she obeys and shows that she does have this respect and this reverence for Him. She is a woman whose biggest beauty secret is this, the fear of the Lord, okay? She reverences God and she gives Him priority. She's obedient to Him. Well, the fear of the Lord is at the root of her, and it's the secret that she finds for biblical beauty. And girls, the fear of the Lord from this point in your life on is the one thing that I would just encourage you to continue to pursue, because it will bring balance to your life and it will bring direction to your life. We looked a couple of weeks ago at Psalm chapter 37 where it says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Girls, our lives are to be all about Him, okay? About Him, loving Him most and seeking Him first. God said this is when they asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, what is the first and foremost commandment? And He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So girls, I would just encourage you as we close this 7-week study on biblical beauty, do you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? If you'll put Him first, girls, I promise you, all these things that you've learned, you will begin to see them manifest themselves. All these characteristics of biblical beauty, you are in a process. You are becoming. And the most important thing you need to do is to love Him most, seek Him first, give Him priority. Will you do that? Will you do that? Oh, how I pray that you will. I pray that this study has encouraged you in your walk with the Lord and that you will recognize from this point on what true beauty is really all about, and that you won't fall for the lies, all the phony definitions of beauty that the culture is going to throw up at you in the years to come. I pray that you'll pursue Him, and when you pursue Him, you're going to see biblical beauty, true beauty, began to radiate from your life, and God is going to bless that. Well, girls, let's do this. Whether we've got girls here in the studio with us, some girls are watching the video right now with us, and I want everybody just to bow their heads right now. We're just going to close with a time of just commitment, okay? And what I want you to do right now as you close your eyes and as you bow your heads, I just want you to thank God right now. Would you thank Him for giving you the desire to become a biblically beautiful young woman? Just thank Him. Would you thank Him for the changes He's made in your life since you met Him? And even over the past few weeks as you've studied His Word, would you thank Him for those changes? Because He did that. Now thank Him for giving you the power to change. And then would you just close your prayer by committing to give Him priority. To give Him priority in every remaining season of your life. And now I want to pray for you. Well, Lord, we commit to giving Your Word priority, to giving our relationship with You priority, and to becoming more and more like You. Lord, we thank You for Your Word, the book. It teaches us all we need to know about becoming true beauties, biblically beautiful women. May the seeds that You've planted in our lives through Your words blossom. And Father, may they bear biblically beautiful fruit now and in every remaining season of our lives for Your glory is our heart's desire. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.